backward, isn't it? Say, oh, well, let's not have church. I think we should have church. So thank you for being here on the Lord's Day, on Christmas Day. And today we are going to focus on the incarnation, which is what Christmas is all about, that God became a man. Verse 14 will be our text, but we're going to dissect it today. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word was made flesh. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, for this wonderful crowd that has chosen to come to church on the Lord's Day, on Christmas Day. And I pray, Lord, that each of us would receive a blessing from your precious Word. Lord, from the opportunity we've already had to worship you in song together as a congregation. And we would leave blessed and, Lord, touched by the power of your Word as we're reminded today what Christmas is truly about. And so, Lord, may you be glorified and pleased, and may you guide us and speak to us through your Word. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, and the Word. We're going to stop there and just talk about that for a few moments if we could. That is one of the names of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look down in the first verse of the book of John, John 1:1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we see right from the very first verse of the Gospel of John that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word, and that he always has been, and that he is God. Those are some beautiful truths about the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is and always has been. So he didn't begin at Christmas. It's important for us to understand that, that Jesus always has been. If you look in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we will see this explained for us. Micah chapter 5 in the Old Testament in verse 2. But the Word is Jesus. We're told when Jesus returns in Revelation chapter 19, the Bible says that his name is called the Word of God. So whenever we see that name capitalized, the Word is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of his glorious names. Notice in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Yes, in his human form, he came to Bethlehem Ephratah, but as it says there at the end of the verse, he's always been from everlasting. The Lord Jesus Christ has always been because he is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. While you're in the Old Testament, look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And we'll see one of the most beautiful Old Testament declarations of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Notice the two names, Mighty God and Everlasting Father. Those are two names for this child that would be born, Jesus Christ. So the Word, as we see, this, and the Word in John 1:14 is Jesus. And Jesus always has been. He is God, but he's also our Creator, which is, again, quite beautiful. John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And what this is teaching is that our Creator came to earth, But the express purpose of becoming the perfect man, with the mission, if you will, of dying as our substitute. All things were made by him. Look at John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. No, they crucified him. The very ones that he created crucified him. The very ones that he created sin against him all the time. But it was his love that drove him to come. And so we see here in John 1:14, the word, that name, word, is referring to Jesus, the one who will come back on a white horse in Revelation 19 to the earth, and he will conquer, and he will set up his kingdom, and his name is called the Word of God. And he always has been. He is God. He is our Creator. But it says, and the Word, John 1:14, was made flesh. That is what Christmas is all about. That's it. It's that the Word was made flesh. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, our Creator, was made flesh. He came to become a man, to become a human. He always had been and always will be, but he chose to come to earth, become a human, so that he could then, as we'll see, die as our substitute. Look at Matthew 1:23, if you would. And we'll see this, another statement of this incarnation. I know that's kind of a fancy word, but that is the word. If you had to pick one word to describe Christmas, it would be incarnation. It would be that the word means that God became a man. And that's what it says. And the Word, we already know now that the Word is Jesus. The Word is Jehovah. The Word is our Creator. The Word always has been. And the Word was made flesh. Notice Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. And then 1 Timothy 3:16, if you would. Another beautiful declaration of the incarnation is 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You can't get any more clear than that, can you? Well, unless you're not using the King James. Then you're in trouble because all the other versions say he who was manifest in the flesh. They take the word God out. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the incarnation. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ, Jehovah, the Creator, the one who always has been, who came to Bethlehem Ephratah to become a human, the Word, God, was made flesh. So back to our passage, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. Yes, the Christmas story is the greatest story ever told. It's true. But oftentimes people miss the point of the Christmas story, and that is that God became a man and chose to come and dwell among us. That our own Creator became a man. And as we'll see, for the purpose of dying for us. But Jesus made this decision on his own. Go to verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's referring to the Jewish people, Israel. Jesus came as a Jew, as the fulfillment of all the Jewish prophecies of the Old Testament Messiah. He came unto his own, the Jews, and they received him not. But he came. He made a decision to come. Go to John 6:38, and we'll see it again. And it's important that we understand this, that Jesus, as God the Son, voluntarily came to dwell among us. This was his decision, his choice, And it was, of course, driven by his love. It says, John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Notice he said, "I came down from heaven. I myself came down. I made the decision to come." Look at John 10:10 and we'll see it again. Notice it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's talking about the devil. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus came to dwell among us. John 18:37, while you're in John, turn there if you would. This is when Jesus was being questioned by Pilate. John chapter 18, verse 37. It says, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." Notice Jesus himself said, "I came myself. I made the decision to come into the world that I might be a king." And when we get to Revelation 19 and we see that his name is called the Word of God, another one of his names is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, our Creator, Jehovah, the eternal Word of God, chose to be born as a human. He made the decision to come and dwell among us. And it says back in our passage, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." John here referring to himself and the other disciples who were able to spend time with Jesus in his flesh. He said, "We beheld his glory." Wouldn't have been it amazing to actually be here when Jesus was on earth physically? He said, "We beheld it, the glory." There's only one being, if you want to say that, in the universe that has glory, and that's God. But in Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn there, in the story of the birth of Christ, we're told that this was all about the glory of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, we've all heard this phrase quoted before, Christmas time. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." But usually our focus when we quote this is about the peace and the goodwill rather than glory to God in the highest. Jesus came, and when he came, he never ever gave up his glory. He's always been God, and he always will be God. And while he was on earth, he was still God. He was God in the flesh. The Word was made flesh, but he was still God, and he still had the glory of God contained in himself because of who he is. And you know, when we get saved, praise God, he moves in the person of the Holy Ghost. And what does God say is one of our number one missions? "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Because only God is worthy of glory. And once you're his child, once you're his new creation, you're here to bring him glory. And when the Word who was made flesh came to dwell among us, John says we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. That is Jesus Christ, the Word that was made flesh. It says there in verse 14 of our passage, "full of grace and truth." So the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the eternal, from everlasting to everlasting Word of God, made a decision and voluntarily came to be made flesh and dwell among us that he might, as we'll talk about later, die as our substitute. But it says here, "full of grace and truth." If you've been saved a while, you are very thankful for the grace of God. The grace of God gets us through, doesn't it? The throne of God that we approach when we enter into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you know what it's called in Hebrews chapter 4? The throne of grace. Of all the things God could have called his throne, when referring to our access to him in prayer, he refers to it as the throne of grace. The Apostle Paul came to God and said, "Lord, I need you to remove this thorn." And God said, "No, my grace is sufficient. I need you, Paul, to be relying on my grace." James chapter 4, verse 6 says, "He giveth more grace." More than what? More than anything. More than any sin, more than any temptation, more than any trial, more than any struggle. He giveth more grace. Jesus came to bring grace. But you know, he also came to bring what we call the age of grace, which we find ourselves in. There are many dispensations in the Bible, but the one we find ourselves in is the dispensation of grace. We know this because that's what God calls it in Ephesians. Let's turn over there, chapter 2 and chapter 3. But look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, so this is talked about, written in the past, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Every person who's ever been born again since the time of Jesus Christ has been saved by grace. But look over in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 2. Paul says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward." We live in the dispensation of the grace of God. And if you study the dispensations, it just makes you thankful that we were. Trust me. This is the one, if you could choose, this is the one you would choose. If you were given a choice, if God said, "Okay, I'm going to send you to earth as a human being, which dispensation would you like to be born in?" Trust me, you would choose the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's the one we find ourselves in. The Apostle Paul, when talking about the gospel, he says in Acts 20:24, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He even refers to the gospel that we preach as the gospel of the grace of God. Jesus came to bring that grace. He came to bring this age. And if you're a born-again believer, you rely on the grace of God every day. And God has given you the privilege of being one of his children in the dispensation of the grace of God, which means that you are secure in Christ. Hallelujah. And that the next thing is he's going to come and take you to glory, either through death or the rapture. But he also came to bring, John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus also came to bring us truth. Aren't you thankful you hold in your hands the truth of God? Where would we be if we didn't have it? The New Testament, where would we be? Jesus came to bring us truth. But you know, that's because he is truth. He doesn't just give truth. If you go to John 14:6, most of you know the verse, but let's turn there. Jesus not only brought truth, but he is truth. He is the embodiment of truth. And I hear people say, "But wait a minute, isn't the Bible the truth?" Yes, it is. But remember, what's Jesus' name in this verse? The Word of God. Jesus and this book are synonymous. That he is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. And so, yes, this is the truth. And Jesus, now John 14:6, saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me." He is truth. And when he came to bring us truth. Go to Revelation 19 quickly, if you would, and we'll see that another one of Jesus' names is not only the Word of God, Revelation 19:11, but it's also just the word true. That's not just a description of what Jesus brings. That's actually one of his names. Notice Revelation 19 and verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Right, there are two of the names of Jesus Christ, faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called, there it is, the Word of God. Faithful and true and the Word of God. Right, there's three of the names of Jesus Christ. And so the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John 5:7 quickly if you would. Maybe this will help. You've all heard the word Trinity. It's not a Bible word, but it's just a description of the fact that God is three in one. Is that hard to comprehend? Of course it is, because we're mere humans. But with God, all things are possible. God can do whatever God wants to do. And this is how God chose to be. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Of all the names that God could have chosen to put in that verse, he chose the name Word as the second one of the Trinity. He didn't say the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It says the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. One of the most important, prominent names of Jesus Christ is he is the Word of God. And so when you open this book, you're not only spending time in God's Word, you're spending time with Jesus. That's why it's so important that we do it. Because he is the Word. That's why this book is so powerful. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, because it is Jesus, the embodiment of Jesus in written form. And again, hard for us to understand and explain and wrap our heads around, but true. And we'll understand it all when we get to glory. So the Word, the eternal Word, the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the Word was made flesh and chose to dwell among us. For God so loved the world that he, what? Gave his only begotten Son. And look at Ephesians 5:25 if you would. And I'm not looking at this verse to pick on the husbands. But I just want to point out something in the second part of the verse. Although husbands, if you get convicted, that's fine. Husbands, love your wives. How much? As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus made a conscious decision to come to earth, to be born of a virgin. Yes, it was prophesied of, but time means nothing to God. It's very important to us. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out time is irrelevant. And so, yes, he chose to come to earth, to be born of a virgin, to grow up, become a human being, but one who was God. Therefore, he never sinned. The Bible says that he never sinned one time, such that when they did nail him to that cross, and when he did cry out from the cross and say, "It is finished," he could die as our substitute. He could die in our place. If there had been any sin in his life, then he would have had to die for his own sin. But because he was sinless, it says he knew no sin, Hebrews 4:15. Because he was sinless when he did die, he died as our substitute, Romans 5:8. Christ died for us. And as we see here in Ephesians 5, why did he do that? Because he loved us. And chose to give himself for us. That is the Christmas story. And it gets continued right at Easter. The resurrection. But you can't have all of that without the incarnation, which is what Christmas is all about. So the Word, which you hold in your hands, was made flesh. The eternal Word, the Creator, was made flesh and dwelt among us. He made a choice to dwell among us. Can you imagine perfection, having to dwell among sinners for 30 some years. What a struggle that must have been. The Bible says he was tempted in all points. Hebrews 4:15, like as we are, yet without sin. He had to go through every aspect of temptation that we would ever face, never sinned. So that when he did die, he could die as our perfect substitute. But also now the Bible says when we go to him in prayer, he actually can understand because he's been through it himself as one of us, a human. So the Word of God was made flesh, chose to dwell among us and to bring grace and truth. We are so blessed to remember at Christmas time what it's about. Amen? It's about Jesus. Jesus, who loved us enough to come and be crucified for you and for me. And when that thief turned to him, one of the thieves gave him a hard time. The other one turned to him and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he turned to him and he said, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He just had to acknowledge that I'm the Lord. He didn't get baptized. He didn't go to church. He just acknowledged Jesus as Lord and asked him to take him with him. And he said, I will. How beautiful is that? So the Word was made flesh. Remember that every time you open this book, you're spending time with the Word. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Word was made flesh. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are, again, so grateful for Jesus, His love that drove Him to come, His willingness to carry through and suffer all that He suffered at Calvary and before. And Lord, that He would do all of that for us. We just cannot thank You enough. And that because of that, we can today say we are Your children and we are going to heaven. All because of what Jesus chose to do at Christmas. Thank You. May we remember that. May we tell others. May we live that. That we are here to bring You glory now. Just as You came to bring glory. And for that we can only but praise You, Lord. So have Your will and way in our hearts as we contemplate these things on this Christmas day. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray.